The life of the hermit is like a rigid, barren rock that only looks to heaven, helps humanity neither and does no good. Far superior to such a life is that of the good family man who provides for himself and his family and raises diligent children. In the midst of the world's turmoil, create a hermitage in your heart, the build your altar to God, pray amidst work, that is good and right. Seek heaven amidst all human suffering, amidst the struggles and tribulations of the earth. Strive through all temptations to win God's love, make yourself useful. You were born to live and fight among people, to fight for the eternal kingdom of God. Do not isolate yourself from others. Prayer gives you strength and rest, but not a whole life of solitude. It is not good for man to be alone, said God, and created Eve as Adam's companion. Or would you seek your own salvation alone and let your brothers languish? That would be wrong. One for all for one, that is the great word. Viribus unitus. Vanity. Let each one look into their own heart and ask themselves if they are vain. Almost everyone will have to answer in the affirmative. Vanity is a very widespread fault. Most often, people are vain about things that are not their own merit, things that are gifts from God, innate qualities, such as beauty or talents. One should be grateful for such undeserved gifts from heaven, but not vain. Vanity does not beautify or improve, it robs every quality of its charm and makes a person unpleasant, often ridiculous. As has been said, people are far less vain about what they have acquired themselves than about what has been given to them. They are vain about money, about things they can lose every day, about birth and position, which are not their own merits, things that have often been given to them to test them. Vanity casts a shadow on the minds of even the most astute men, indeed, it obscures intellectual gifts and talents, it makes them partisan and one-sided. Oh, cast off your vanities, they are obstacles on the path of virtue and spiritual progress. Under the influence of vanity, many a good heart withers, many a gifted mind, therefore, eradicate it. Parents. Honor your father and mother. This commandment we should inscribe on our hearts with golden, indelible letters. You have only one father, one mother in this life. Every other love is replaceable, but parental love is not. In the Old and New Testaments, in the writings of Eastern philosophers, in the Vedas of the Indians, in every religion, love for one's parents stands as the first law. Oh dear friends, you who are so fortunate to still have parents, love them, honor them. You can never repay your parents for all the care and attention they gave you in your childhood. How sorely orphans miss their parents' love and care, how alone and abandoned they feel, in their hearts remains an empty space, the place where love for parents dwells. Ingratitude towards parents is a grave sin. He who can bring himself to speak a harsh word to his parents would be better off never having been born. The tears and pain of parents over a wayward child are fiery colic upon the head of the one who caused them. Parents, consider what an important mission you undertook by giving you children. They are spirits entrusted to your care. Those whom you are to lead to God. For each child you owe responsibility and accountability. It is a difficult task to raise children, to stifle the seed of evil within them, and to instill goodness in their hearts. It is up to you to guide your children with the fullest love, to lead them to be righteous, and to make them children of God. Pray that God may give you strength for this. The goal and purpose of your life must be to guide the children entrusted to you on the path of virtue. Sensitivity. Sensitivity springs from vanity and conceit. With this vice, people make life very difficult for themselves. All sorts of other evils arise from it: resentment, strife, discord, mistrust. The sensitive person makes life bitter for themselves and others. I advise everyone who suffers from this evil to fight it mercilessly and harshly, as if it were an enemy. What can people really do to you? Don't take their words so seriously. What is a person's judgment, their opinion? Let nothing that comes from people offend you. Instead of being overly sensitive, investigate whether you might be in the wrong, whether your actions might not warrant the criticism of others. Seek the truth from the words of your fellow human beings, don't be sensitive, remain good and friendly, and the peace of God will dwell within you. Deprivation. Our own deprivation teaches us to be good and merciful to others. Woe to him who knows no deprivation, he will not understand the deprivations of others, and self-love will rule him instead of love for his neighbor. Deprivation teaches selflessness, sacrifice, and compassion. It spiritualizes the individual, it liberates him from earthly possessions, it shows him the path to God, for deprivation teaches us to pray. Those who lack nothing love the world too much. Death is their enemy, not their friend. And since all must die, it is better to have death as a friend. Therefore, do not complain about deprivation, accept it all the more gratefully as healthy medicine for your spirit. Do not envy those who know no deprivation, they often lack the best feeling, compassion for the suffering of others. Enjoy what God has granted you. Gladly forego what you do not have. Every station of life has its peace. Every station of life has its burden. Abstinence. Whoever practices abstinence and controls their senses is Lord and Master over all flesh. They are on the path to spiritual perfection, for abstinence is the mediator of many virtues. Practicing abstinence for one's own good and for the good of others is true Christian love. It is the path to perfection. One should forego oneself and give to others, abstain from costly pleasures and bring joy to others. The abstinent person will never be a slave to their senses and passions. They will master them, they are free and strong. But he who does not know abstinence is a slave to his body. Abstinence brings health, youthful vigor, and cheerfulness. Whoever practices it is a wise person. Every victory over the senses and the flesh brings blessedness, peace, and makes one spiritually strong and wise. Submission. Submission to God brings rest and peace to the weary human heart. What good does it do you to resist your fate, to refuse to bow to the inevitable? It only brings you unrest and increases your suffering. You cannot change the things that are destined to happen. Resignation to God gives you strength in suffering, it gives you courage and steadfastness, it lightens the burden of trials, the struggle in temptations. It is better to bear your fate in resignation than to murmur against it. Resignation is the sister of faith and trust. Whoever has the former also has the other too. O man, submit to the will of God, and you will be content. You are like a fly in the spider's web. God's will and fate hold you fast. You can do nothing against this power, therefore remain still in resignation. Remembrance. What gives you more joy than the memory of vanished, beautiful hours and days? Do you not remember with delight your early childhood years, your childish games, and the events of your childhood? When you are sad and feel forgotten by everyone, doesn't the name of a friend come to mind, someone you believe still thinks of you? Do you not often, in solitude and sorrow, return to those places where you felt or gave happiness, and in this memory do you not relive the joyful, long gone hours? Do you not remember with gratitude to God when someone was able to do you a kindness? Truly, memory is a precious thing when it brings good things back to our minds. It is painful when it reminds you of past wrongs. Therefore, live in such a way that you need not fear the memory, that you can take refuge in yourself, as in a trusted friend, when the present is painful. Create a comforting memory for yourselves. This depends only on you, on your pious spirit, on your virtue. Oh, do not become lukewarm and cold, lest the memory become a tormenting punishment. Thank God for this gift of the Spirit. It is very beneficial for a person to compel themselves to remember, to examine their past life closely, seek out the earliest events of your life, illuminate them with the light of truth, and draw moral benefit from them. In this way, memory will have a beneficial effect. Eternity. The idea of eternity is inexplicable and incomprehensible to many. Some shudder at the thought they cannot grasp, that earthly life is not over as a frightening thought for the materialist, which is why he denies eternal life. For him, absolute death is a comfort, for with it, he believes, all worry, all reproach, all responsibility ends, For this price, he gladly gives up his salvation. If you consider the earth as the only existence, then it is only natural that you would wish for the death of the spirit, of feeling and thinking. It would be dreadful to live on eternally under the same conditions as you lived on earth. But if you have faith in immortality, then your earthly life will appear to you as a moment in eternity. You will patiently endure troubles of earthly life and look forward with joy to eternal life. Behold, you are a spirit, eternity is your life. Fallen through sin, you shall amend yourself, become more perfect. You will find ample means for this in the universe, in the laws that govern all things. Your goal should be to become like Christ, to reach the Father through him. How can an earthly existence achieve this for eternity? There is no other means than continuous transformations or incorporations of the Spirit. You will find the means and ways for this imperatively. Your guardian spirit, higher, helping spirits are there to show you the saving path of the law. You will not be separated from your loved ones if your love has been just and lawful. You can await them as spirits when you go before them and follow them in every incorporation. True love is not divided. People say, providence brings them together, the law that guides the spirits leads them to one another. Seek eternal life through your spiritual perfection. It is important for earth dwellers to step outside their narrow perspective on eternal life and listen to the revelations of good spirits about it. Christ said you should find yourselves again, hold fast to this. Yes, you will find yourselves again. The offender does not escape the offended. The murderer not the murdered. Where everything becomes clear as sunshine, there is the judgment of God. This is no delusion. Every deed, every thought has its earthly imprint, and everything finds retribution, accusation, justification, punishment, reward. That is why some spirits imagine themselves in eternal hell, that is why the righteous are in eternal bliss. Anxious and gloomy is the existence of the sinful spirit. It would wish that there were no immortality. But glorious is the existence of the good. For them, eternity is no longer time. O man, if the way to eternity seems long, difficult, hard to you, hope, pray, trust, for it leads to God, the source of eternal life, eternal love. To Christ the Redeemer. Walk with your loved ones, bringing many spirits with you to God, redeeming yourself and others. Do not ponder eternity any longer, O man. Go to God with mind and soul. For you will find the solution. Falseness. Falseness is a poison that corrodes everything, twists and disfigures everything. It turns truth into a lie and leads into a labyrinth of untruths. Falsehood is like a creeping monster that nests in the night and destroys the most beautiful blossoms. Where falsehood has taken hold, peace has departed. Falsehood goes about in beautiful garb, it makes itself smooth and fine, it flatters and can even pretend to be pious, it feigns feelings it does not have, inwardly it is abominable, ugly, malicious. Falsehood leads to great sins. All evil in the world is false, untrue. Pay close attention to all your words and thoughts, so that no falsehood may creep in. Falsehood can tolerate the light of God, but not the truth. All falsehood will one day be brought from darkness into the light and replaced by truth, be slain. Enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Loving those who love you in return is easy. Love those who hate you. These are words of Jesus that everyone should write on their heart. Did Jesus ever rebuke or persecute his enemies? Did he call them wicked? No, he only said, they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Strive to speak in this way. Do not become bitter toward your persecutors. Love and patience conquer the worst enemy, but not spite. This only makes things worse. Prayer, love, against hatred. Protection against persecution, good against evil, and your enemies are destroyed. Conquer them through love, just as the Redeemer did. Steadfastness. Do not waver or sway like a reed in the wind. Be steadfast and strong. Do not let the world and people with their differing opinions toss you about. Do not let yourselves be influenced by everyone. Seek steadfastness in God, in His help. stand firm in life like a rock in the sea. The waves may wash over the rock, but they cannot move it. Steadfastness is necessary for every person who wants to walk the path of good. All temptation bounces off it, and the person walks with firm steps, without wavering, upward to God. Steadfastness in goodness, steadfastness in faith. Hold this faithfully and bravely, beloved pilgrims of earth. Diligence. If the idler and the lazy bones knew how they would gladly make up for the lost time in the spirit world after this life, how bitterly they would then regret having wasted their time on earth so, they would truly repent and apply all their diligence to make themselves useful. Pray and work, so that you do not fall into temptation. Do not be idle, not even an hour of the day. A task is appointed for every person. God has given everyone a task. Diligence dispels evil and gloomy thoughts. It strengthens the willpower, it is true food for the spirit, it is a means of refinement. Let neither hands nor mind rest, work as long as it is day, then comes the time for repose and rest. Whatever your work may be, begin it with prayer. Without God's help, there is no progress. Diligence has its reward, its joy, its harvest. He who does not work, reaps nothing. Was at page 64. Freedom. There is no positive freedom, neither for people nor for spirits. Both depend on a great many influences and things. First, you humans depend on your innate, or rather, your inherited shadows. You are servants of your passions and inclinations, insofar as you do not control them. This restricts freedom the most, for no chains are so hard to break as those of passion. Then you are dependent on moral obligations to God and your fellow human beings. Therefore, no one can truly say that they are completely free and independent, for the freedom that wealth and material prosperity, as well as position in the world, provide, are very illusory. Such people are far more dependent on many things than the poor person who owns nothing. Does the rich person depend on no one? Do not rulers also depend on many things? Does not the fate of nations also depend on all sorts of circumstances? The freest person is he who has few needs. Do you believe that we flagellants are free, that we are not surrounded by laws that set limits for us? God gave us free will, you too have it, you can be good or evil, free or bound. Virtue makes you free, therefore seek your freedom in God, in perfection, only through this will you attain it. Without sin you are free, so strive for this freedom, for then nothing of the world will oppress or trouble you. Thus, each person must liberate themselves by fighting their passions. Friendship. Closely related to love is the bond of friendship, which binds people together. Friendship is often more sublime, more divine, certainly more selfless than love. It is an invisible bond that connects spirits. The true friend, a second self, can never be lost, for true friendship does not grow cold, it endures all of life's storms, all tribulations and trials. Happy is he who can acquire true friendship, which is so rarely genuine and faithful to find. And when you have found it, oh, then nurture it like a precious, delicate flower, and hold it sacred. Every sorrow, every pain is easier to bear when one knows that a friend's heart shares in it and helps to bear it. The good person has many friends. Joyless is the life of one who has no friend. Peace. The peace of God be with you. Jesus said to his followers, "This is how you should greet one another." To all you who call yourselves Christians, to all you spirits, with this greeting in your heart, enter every house, and with this, depart. If every person were to hold fast to this greeting, the earth would be a dwelling place of peace. Draw the peace of God into your heart so that it may take root there, and then share it with all people. There can be no eternal struggle and war. One day the peace of God must come upon the earth, the peace that is king over all, the peace that reconciles and unites all. Frivolity. Levity. Frivolity is usually not considered a fault, yet it is like one of those rampant plants in the forest that appear lush but bring death to the trees they embrace. The heart in which frivolity reigns is gradually so dominated by it that good qualities slowly wither away. All serious thought, sacrifice, selflessness, piety, soon exist only in appearance. Frivolity is, unfortunately, she is all too often the darling of the high and mighty world, and even children are taught her. Young girls and old women, youths and old men, worship her as a goddess who brightens and beautifies life, health, domesticity, wealth, marital happiness, and often even honor and reputation are sacrificed to this goddess. Moral and financial ruin is often the consequence of this frivolity. A girl will never be sick, tired, or worn out when she is supposed to go to a ball, but going to church once a week, on Sunday, the hour is too early for her, the cake too cold, and so on. There is always money for a ball gown, for entertainment, but rarely when a poor person comes and asks for a warm garment. When one observes the goings-on of the wider world, it's chilling to see how restlessly people strive to participate in everything, how they sacrifice their night, their fortunes, their health to this hustle and bustle, just to shine and be celebrated. If only they would develop the same energy, the same zeal, to, for example, help the poor in need or perform other works of charity. Frivolity also breeds arrogance. One believes oneself to be something better than others. One doesn't like to mingle with the lower classes. Ultimately, one becomes the miserable slave of convenience, superficiality, and forms, and all spirit shrinks, it ossifies. Where is the golden freedom of humankind then? Where is the blossoming of mind and heart? The voice of the heart must be silenced before frivolity. Everything revolves around propriety, etiquette, and decorum. The heart becomes utterly empty with such pursuits, and when old age comes, the soul withers, the heart dies. Many then take refuge in frivolous piety, making a spectacle of churches, the poor, and religion. From the outside, it looks good, but inwardly there is no faith, no devotion, no love. Fear of death is often the driving force behind such piety. Frivolity is dreadful in its consequences. People go about it merrily and cheerfully until disillusionment comes. Therefore, O man, remember, all is vanity, love God and serve Him alone. Mark this, and do not be deceived by the world's laughing face. Cheerfulness, joy. In the heart of goodness dwell joy and cheer. He who has a pure conscience, the pious one, who places his hope and trust in God, will surely have a joyful heart. Gloomy piety is not pleasing to God. He loves joyfully pure hearts that speak openly to Him without fear or apprehension. To bear the blows of fate with unwavering cheerfulness, with a truly pious mind, is better than all lamenting and complaining. Every mother will prefer a cheerful child to a gloomy one. Sadness helps nothing, it only makes life more difficult. If you truly rely on God, if you look to His will, then true joy will surely come and dwell in your hearts. Thought. Thought is a testament to the immortal spirit. To explain thought empirically is impossible, but it can be explained spiritually. Thought is the secret of the one who possesses it. It is and exists, yet no one sees it. Everyone thinks, and no one knows what another thinks. In the thought lives of the foolish and the simpleton, things go on that people have no inkling of. The chamber of thought remains closed to all when the thinker cannot express himself. Thought, this positive life, has great power, cause and effect live in thought. And this incomprehensibly living something, thought. Do you want to derive it solely from material brain functions? Why don't animals think like humans? How can one deny the intelligent engine, the mind, in thought when one perceives expressions of intelligence? Cause and effect are equal. They come from one mover. Spirits speak through thoughts. People, too, can interact with one another through thoughts bound by firm will. Through thoughts, we transport ourselves to distant places and see them in our minds. Anyone wishing to write the history and effects of thoughts could fill volumes. Think well and justly, control your thoughts, suppress everything evil and impure within them. Every person will experience having two kinds of thoughts, their own and those inspired by others. Their own are internal and come from within yourself, while those inspired come from the spirit world that surrounds you. There are good and evil inspirations. Every person speaks to themselves and thinks in two ways. They engage in dialogues. Doesn't this strike you as a possibility, that you are then speaking with the spirits that invisibly surround you? Explain this to yourselves. Isn't this the best explanation? Yes, human beings are a thinking world, and they are surrounded by an invisible, thinking world of spirits. From this confluence of thoughts arises the word and deed of human beings. Thus, there are embodied and disembodied, incarnate and disembodied thinking beings. From these dualistic forces, discern your own thoughts and those of others. Patience. Let us first consider the patience of God, which should serve as a shining example for you. He listens to your requests and your pleas with long-suffering. How infinitely great God's patience is, you have experienced 1,000 times in yourselves. You come once, earnestly asking for something, scarcely is it fulfilled, then you forget to give thanks and immediately ask for a new grace. With patience, God considers the sinner who profanes his holy name, misunderstands him, and acts against his commandments, who repays his favors with ingratitude. Ah, how patient God is with such poor, misguided beings of the human and spiritual world. He punishes with love. Yes, God's patience is tireless. Human being, you too must have patience. Do not despair if your improvement is slow. Do not strive to be perfect all at once. Struggle with patience and perseverance. Even if, over the years, you have only overcome one fault, think more clearly, and love God more deeply. Thank God for the grace of this progress. Do not despair if minor adversities cause you to lose your composure. The intention to improve is already a step forward. Begin in small things, in everyday life, practice patience there. In the exercise of patience, you must begin with the alphabet. Have even more patience for the shortcomings and faults of others than for yourself. You cannot see into their innermost being, their struggles and temptations are foreign to you. You do not know what kind of person it is who tests your patience. You do not know if, by his very nature, he is already highly self-controlled. Yes, dear friend, let your patience for others be inexhaustible. Only then can you demand patience from others for yourself. Be patient as Jesus was, look up to him. Did he ever utter a word of impatience for his persecutors? And you would be impatient? Far be it. Combat all discontent and practice heavenly patience. Feeling. Feeling springs from the spirit, it is the language of the soul and of immortality. There are two kinds of feeling, the spiritual and the physical. The fading of spiritual feeling from the body is its death. Thus, the spirit is the mover and director of all feeling. Spiritual feeling remains attached to the spirit, even after it has shed the human body. Human feelings are communicated through sympathy and antipathy, through glances and words. They bring happiness or unhappiness, joy and pain. Everything in this world is felt mentally or physically. Mental feeling is further proof of the immortal spirit that animates the body. Feelings can also be communicated without words, through the will. What the mouth cannot express, the eye often speaks. Feeling moves the heart, it spurs us to action, and, coupled with will, is all-powerful. Yet it remains something enigmatic, invisible within living beings, which they often cannot explain. There are no people without feelings. But there are those with evil, distorted feelings. Behold, feeling is incomprehensible, yet it is there, not only in humans, but in all living beings. The general question is always, how do you feel? What did you feel? O spirits and humans, you feel so many things: love, hate, longing, regret, pity. Everything that exists, what is, should be felt, for it is through feeling that you are happy or unhappy. Healthy or ill. So many living beings, so many different feelings. No two beings in the world feel exactly the same. The entire universe breathes feelings, everything feels the pulse of life. And if someone tells you, if you do not believe in immortality, answer him, I must believe in it because I experience it. Obedience. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.